Morning. Thank you all for being here today. And thank you to the brethren that led at the table and drew at the songs and the reading. Thank you for leading into what we're going to talk about today. So in the past couple of weeks, we've looked at love in the family and love in the church. And so this week, we're going to look at love in the world. And as we do that, I think one of the things we need to do first is get to the right slide in the PowerPoint. Is define the world. And I think understanding what we've already talked about family, we've talked about the church, and the way we're looking at this definition of the world today, I think we understand that to be those that are not in the body of Christ. So just making sure we're all on the same page with that, those that are not in the body of Christ. The details of that group, however, the details of loving people in that group, or whether they be individuals or many people together, depends on that person or group. There we go. So I've kind of defined three different groups that we're going to look at. So one would be frequent contact or relationships. People that we run into or meet or interact with on a regular basis. So friends, coworkers, classmates, people in the neighborhood, things like that. We have fairly regular, at least we could have, fairly regular contact with these people and interact with them on a regular basis. And so our showing of love toward these people might look different than people in some of these other groups. So the second group would be people that we have infrequent contact with. Okay? Probably not a lot of relationship in these situations. So maybe the person who waits on the table at the restaurant, or the cashier at the restaurant or the store, or just someone else that I see at the store or at the bank or at a ball game. So people that I don't meet frequently, I may not already know them. It may be just a one-time interaction. So what do these relationships look like? How do we show love in these situations? It's probably going to look different than it does for those in group one who I have regular contact with. And then a third group, those that I may never meet or have contact with. Now, understand before I go through this list that we might well, and I would say should, have contact and interaction with people in these groups. But then they would be in group one or group two. Okay? So this would be people maybe in far removed from our situation in life that we may never see. And also, groups that tend to be stereotyped, maybe taken advantage of. And so, thinking about these groups as well. So maybe people in other nations. I don't do that much traveling, so I'm not likely to meet them. But how can I show love for people in other nations? Immigrants or refugees. People of other races, generational groups. You've got boomers and you've got millennials and everything in between. Addicts, homeless, those that identify as LGBTQ. I may or may not have interactions with any of these groups, people in different socioeconomic groups or classes. Other religions or beliefs. So as we expand that circle, how am I showing love even toward these? So as we look at these different groups, the first question is, are there any of these people or groups that God does not love? I think the answer is obvious. If we look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could be forgiven and saved. John 3:16. So God loves all of these people in all of these groups. Understanding that love doesn't necessarily mean approval. But God loves all of these. And so the next question then is, are there any of these people or groups that I should not love? If God my Father loves all of these groups and all of these people, shouldn't the same be said of me? Now, I intended to say this earlier. As I've prepared this lesson, my toes are very sore. It's been cause for a lot of self-reflection. And so I guess that's my goal this morning, is to cause all of us to look inwardly a little bit, to consider our interactions with those in the world, and to look at that and to say, how am I doing? How do I need to make adjustments? Because truth is, we probably all have a little bit of work to do. And so taking the time to look and to reflect and to think, how am I doing compared to what God's Word says? So I hope this isn't discouraging, but I hope it's challenging and causes us to look inwardly. A little bit of review, kind of looking back to Andy's lesson a few weeks ago. He spoke that love is foundational, and we see that. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And as you look at the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 13, we see how foundational, how critical love is. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, if you look at those lists in those first few verses, those are some pretty impressive deeds. Some pretty impressive actions taking place. And yet, without love, it's just a bunch of noise, and it's a waste of time. Love is critical to what we do. Andy also spoke about love being a choice and a proactive sacrifice. So understand that sometimes the feeling, the actions of love don't just come naturally, but we need to work toward them becoming naturally. It may be a very conscious choice and effort to show love in some situations. But that's a conscious choice and effort that we make. So again, as I said before, love does not necessarily mean acceptance or approval, but there are also no exceptions given, regardless of circumstances. As we look through the things here in 1 Corinthians 13, God doesn't say, this is what love is, and this is how you should love, unless you're in this situation, or except for toward these people, or unless they did this to you. There are no exceptions given. We're directed to love. And it also doesn't give excuses for the way that I am. You know, sometimes we like to say, well, that's just not how I am. Or that's just not in my character. That's just not my personality. Well, okay. Good to recognize that. So where do we go from here? We can't just leave it at, well, loving and taking these type of actions isn't just natural to me. Okay, love is a choice. So we choose to show love. And remember that this is purposeful. It's intentionally seeking the good of the other person. It's making that intentional choice. It's looking at what they need most and seeking to help with that. So let's dig into 1 Corinthians 13, the next few verses, verses 4 through 8. So let's read through it first. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I'm a real organizer. And so having the things that love is and the things that love is not all jumbled doesn't work for me. So what I've done here, and I apologize that it's so small, but you could probably do the same thing on your own piece of paper in about 15 to 30 seconds. Just put in one column or list the things that this says love is. So love is patient, kind. It rejoices with the truth. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures. On the other hand, love is not envying. Love is not boastful. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude or stubborn or irritable. Love is not resentful. And love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Having these kind of split up helps me to look at it and say, where am I? Did the interaction that I just had with this person, does it more closely resemble the love is list or the love is not list? If that person that I just interacted with was asked, if we did a survey of that person, what would they say? Because that's important, is perception. I might intend for my interaction to feel a certain way, but it might be perceived by that person a different way. And my intent is important, but the way it was perceived by that person is even more important than my intent. Because I might say, well, I didn't intend for that to hurt your feelings. But if it hurt their feelings are hurt, regardless of what I intended. So the way that it's perceived by that person is very important. So looking at things from their perspective, how would they say this interaction, this behavior, what did it show? So again, looking at these different groups, we've got the different groups over here, our neighbors, friends, co-workers, and so on, and then this other group of people that we might interact with just once or very occasionally, and then people that we might never meet. Okay? And then does my interaction with group one, the friends, the co-workers, the people that I see regularly, is it more along the love is list or more along the love is not list? People that I interact with just occasionally as I'm out about my day, okay, maybe the delivery person that comes to the door, do they feel love from that interaction? The other driver in the car around me, do they sense love in my interaction, or would they say that it is not showing love? The bank teller, the cashier, how would my interaction with them be? Would they say it's according to this love is list, patient, kind, rejoicing with the truth, bears, believes, hopes, and endures, or envying, boastful, arrogant, rude, stubborn, irritable, resentful, and rejoicing at wrongdoing? Where am I falling in here? And then stereotype groups. Again, I'm not even interacting with these people. I've never met these people. Okay, this is out there far away. But as I talk with others, am I showing love for those people that I never even meet? Or am I displaying a negative attitude? A hurtful attitude? You see, even though I might not meet people in other nations, if I'm talking with someone else about people in other nations, do they get the sense that I love those people or that I don't love those people? Okay. And so on down through the list. Let's look at what Jesus had to say. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 42. Sorry, actually verse 43. Matthew 5, starting in verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." If I just love people that are nice to me, people that are close to me, people that I have a lot in common with, I'm no different than anybody else. It's when I step outside of that. It's when I go beyond that. It's when I make that conscious choice and effort to make sure that I'm showing love even to those that don't deserve it, even in situations where normal people would say, that's not reasonable. If people look at the way that I show love and the people that I show love to, and they say, what are you doing? That's a good sign. So not just where it's convenient, not just where it's easy, because everybody can do that. God calls us to something higher, something better. The example here, loving even your enemies and seeking their good. Luke chapter 10, the reading that we just went through a few minutes ago. Luke chapter 10. And we won't read through that again, but thinking about this parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. I think this would fall into the category of the infrequent contact. I don't get the feeling that the Samaritan and the man on the side of the road knew each other previously. Okay, it was just a one-time interaction. But who showed love to that man? Was it the priest or the Levite? Would the man on the road say, yes, they showed me love because they moved on around and kept going? Not at all. Okay. Clearly, the Good Samaritan is the one that showed love. He made a conscious choice. It was not convenient for him. It didn't fit in his plan for the day, probably. It cost him. And yet he made a choice to show love to this stranger. And I think that stranger recognized and felt that. He saw how he behaved differently than the priest and the Levite. So thinking about my interactions, even with those people that I might meet just once, it's not planned, it's just a rare, occasional thing, do they leave feeling that I've loved them, feeling that I care about them? The word I think that was in the reading this morning, he had compassion on him. The Good Samaritan had compassion on this man on the side of the road. Do I look at people's circumstances, at their situation, and have compassion? Or am I more likely to judge? Sometimes we snap to a judgment instead of having compassion. particularly maybe in driving situations, just trying to get real here. In driving situations, if someone doesn't follow the law and it causes a problem for me, am I more likely to judge or have compassion? If someone cuts in front of me at the line at the restaurant or the store, am I more likely to judge or have compassion? Some looking inward and thinking about how we really interact with others. Sometimes we like to look at it and think, yeah, I love others. Again, looking at these interactions and thinking, well, what would they say? Would they agree with that assessment? Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Speaking of judging versus having compassion, Luke chapter 18. And beginning in verse 9, we read about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke 18 and verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Do I show humility or do I lift myself up? Do I present myself as better than other people? Or do I present myself as lowly, as a servant, as we just sang? How do I present myself? How does that come across to other people? Although the Pharisee might very well have been thankful for how God had blessed him and how God had led him in good living, perhaps that would be better as a private prayer rather than thrown out there for everyone to hear, right? Maybe a very different prayer would be appropriate in that situation, one showing greater love. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And starting in verse 31, Jesus is telling another parable here, giving information about the final judgment. But I think it presents an attitude. I think it shows a type of character and an approach, a feel that we should have, a general attitude. So Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all of the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So I liken this to that third group. Those that we have maybe no interaction with. Although this very clearly says we should. But those that are taken advantage of, those that are often abused, the least of these. Those that are the most vulnerable, the most in need. How am I showing love for those groups? For the least of these? In my conversation, in my actions, am I showing a love for those that are most disadvantaged? The greatest love. If you would turn to John chapter 15 and verse 13. John 15 and verse 13. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You and I are not likely to be asked to lay down our lives, to physically die for someone else in order to show them love. It's not likely to happen. And even if it did, even if I died for someone and they saw that as great love, that still wouldn't take care of their greatest need. That still wouldn't take care of the sin problem that they have. The greatest love that I can show is introducing them to the one that did die for them to free them from their sins. That's the greatest showing of love, is to introduce them to the one that did die for them. And to remember that my unloving behavior can very easily become a stumbling block. If I try to introduce someone to Jesus who died on the cross to save them from their sins, and then they see unloving behavior in me, maybe toward them or maybe toward other people, that gets really confusing and can become a stumbling block in accepting and understanding the love of Christ. And so let's do our best to model what Jesus shows and what he teaches in how to love others. This morning, if you're in need of this greatest love, this sacrificial love of Jesus that frees from sins, if you've not joined Christ, if you've not put aside the old man, died and buried with Christ to raise up again, to be free from those sins, we encourage you to do that this morning, to accept that love, that freedom that he offers. And if you have, and yet recognize that your manner of life is not consistent with what Jesus has taught, we'd love to encourage you and to pray with you this morning. Whatever your need might be, please come forward as we stand and sing.